Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' ministry, he had more than his fair share of interactions with the tax collectors and sinners, and with the Pharisees and scribes. Now, as we know, the tax collectors and sinners were the undesirable members of the Jewish community. The sinners were people who were somehow in violation of the temple purity codes. The tax collectors were people who had allied themselves with the Roman government, who was occupying the region and ruling over the Hebrews. The Pharisees, on the other hand, well, they were the religious elite. And sure, they might have been a little arrogant, but they followed the law of Moses to the letter, and people admired them. The scribes were so devoted to the law that they made a living copying it word for word. And so you have outcasts in open defiance of God's law, and you have the religious elite living within the confines of the covenant. And Jesus tells a parable to demonstrate that neither one is where they ought to be. A man had two sons. And anyone who knows the story knows that one of the sons represents the tax collectors and sinners. The other one represents the scribes and Pharisees. The younger son says to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me." And so the father divided his property between them. There's a few details here that we don't want to miss. The first is that while our English translations usually say something like, "the father divided his property," or his wealth, or his assets, the Greek word there is simply bios. It's one of the Greek words for life. It's where we get the word biology, the study of life. So literally, in the parable, the father doesn't just divide his money between his sons, he divides his life between them. And it's also significant that he divided it between both sons. He didn't just give the younger son his share of the inheritance, while the older son waited patiently for the father to die. The text says the father divided his life away between both sons. It seems like both took it. Both were content to take the father's things, to leave the father behind. The younger son squandered his share in reckless living. The Greek word there is asotos. It's a combination of the a, the a, the beginning of a word, that negates the word. It's like atypical means not typical, or atheism means a belief there's no God. So asotos or asotos means without sotos, and that's the Greek word for salvation. And so the younger brother in the parable takes his share of the father's livelihood and goes and lives as one without salvation. You see, it's more than just frivolous or reckless living. The problem is bigger than him wasting his money on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The problem is that he moves to a faraway land. He lives outside the father's house, living as one who had distanced himself from his father, living asotos, a life outside of salvation. But the older brother does the same thing, ultimately. When we get to his part of the story, we hear that he won't go in and celebrate the return of his brother. We might want to think that it's simply jealousy, but his words tell a different story. Remember, he too received his share of the father's life, and while he didn't squander it in reckless living, he is still guilty of treating the father as if the father is dead to him. He says, "Look, these many years I have served you, never disobeyed your commands, and yet you never gave me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Set aside the self-delusion of claiming to never have disobeyed his father, what the brother's words reveal is how he truly feels about his father. He doesn't see him as a father, and he does not desire to be treated as a son. He wants no gifts. He wants no love. He wants no mercy. He just wants wages. He wants what he thinks he deserves. He wants the wealth of the father without actually having a father. And he may look more presentable to the outside eye, but in his heart, he's no different than his brother. Neither one of them wanted to be treated as a son. Neither one of them wanted a father. So So Jesus told a parable to a mixed audience. There were tax collectors and sinners living an obviously asotos life outside of the Father's house. And then there were the scribes and the Pharisees, still living on the Father's estate, but rejecting their place as sons. Neither of them were living as the children of God. So the question before us today is, which one are you? Which am I? And the brilliance of our Lord's parable is that ultimately, we're both. We might look more like one brother or the other on the outside, but in our hearts, it's a little bit of each of them. There are places in our lives where we live asotos, outside of salvation. Places where we are recklessly and wildly sinful. We may be good at hiding it from people. Might even succeed in hiding it from ourselves. But there are, without a doubt, places in our lives that will lead us down the path to pig slop. Greed, lust, anger, bitterness, pride. Any of these can grow into openly unrepentant sin and defiant living. Any one of these can lead us down the path to an openly sinful life, putting us in the same boat as the younger brother. But there's also part of us that believes that because we do come to church, because we pray before meals, because we're better than that guy over there, that we've somehow earned our place in the Father's estate. Part of us that looks down on the openly sinful people of the world. People at work, people we see in restaurants, people driving in the car next to us or standing on the corner asking for change. We are also like the older brother. We might look more like one or the other on the outside, but ultimately, we're a little bit of both. And so Jesus tells us a parable to show us that when we refuse our place as children of the Heavenly Father, when we refuse to live as sons, we end up enslaved to something. We end up enslaved to the passions of the flesh, like the younger brother at the beginning of the story. Or we end up enslaved to despair, like the younger brother in the middle of the story, thinking we have messed up so much that we aren't even welcome in our Father's house. Or we end up enslaved to pride, like the older brother, thinking that we've earned our place in the Father's house through our virtuous behavior and our keeping of God's laws. That's the beauty of the parable. See, the parable is not really about the brothers. It's about the Father. It's about his willingness to sacrifice himself at the beginning to give his sons gifts. And it's about his refusal to treat them as anything other than his children. When the younger brother hits rock bottom and decides to come home, his intention is to live on the Father's estate as a worker. But while he is yet a long way off, the Father sees him coming and runs to greet him with a kiss. Then he puts a robe on him, covering his shame and nakedness with the family garment. And he puts a ring on his son's hand, a signet ring that comes with the authority of the family. With this ring, he can now sign official documents on behalf of the family once again, because he's part of the family once again. And the father puts shoes on his feet. Servants don't wear shoes. Sons wear shoes. And this is the father's son. The father would have it no other way. But so is the older brother. The father still sees him as a son, not as an employee. His righteous living didn't earn him a place in the family. He was already part of the family. Both brothers are. That's a relationship that precedes and supersedes whatever else these sons do or don't do. They can't make themselves sons. Neither can they make themselves not sons. Sons is who they are, and it's how their father sees them. And that's Jesus' comfort for us. We are children of our Heavenly Father. We didn't make ourselves his children through virtuous living. We don't forfeit our place in his family through sinful living. We are simply his children, and he is our father. We are adopted into his family through the waters of baptism. We have not, and we cannot, out-sin our father's love for us or our place in his family. And neither will he treat us simply like employees, there to do the tasks he has placed before us. We are not so righteous that we no longer need our Father's love and forgiveness. But the Father loves to forgive. He lives to forgive and to reconcile us and to keep us as part of his family. And so that's who we are, and that's how we live. Sometimes the message of the parable is just as simple as it looks. He is our Father, we are His children, and He will have it no other way. So let us repent of trying to live with our Lord by some other means. Let us put away all false notions and pretenses. Let us simply rejoice. We are children of the Heavenly Father. It's who we are in baptism. It's who we are in Him. And He would have it no other way. In Jesus' name, amen.